Well, if I were to ask you this morning to think of someone who has been an encouragement or an encourager to you, who would be the first person you would think of?
Mum.
Okay, good. Well, throughout my life, I have been surrounded by many great encouragers. I think first and foremost of my family, my parents. My grandparents encouraged me from a very young age. Then I started to think of people who invested into me when I was a child. Some of them I actually, well, one of them in particular, I still have a bit of contact with, and she was my first ever netball coach. When I started to play netball when I was about 8 years old, she came alongside me and told me what an amazing job I was doing, even though I could hardly even catch a ball. That's a true story. And then I had a piano teacher in my latter years of high school. Those of you who, it's a secret now I've just let out, I can play the piano, not in public though, so don't ever ask me to do that. But I had a piano teacher and he was a wonderful encourager to me. And sometimes I didn't do the practice I was supposed to do and Beethoven sounded positively awful and he would be telling me I was doing such a great job. And deep down I knew that he was just getting paid to say that. But anyway, that's okay. Or I had a driving instructor and his name was Hans. And he was a lovely man. He was so gentle. And, you know, my parents thought it would be, particularly my dad, thought it would be a good idea if I got a manual driver's license. And, you know, Hans would be sitting there hanging on to that handle in the car with white knuckles as I was bunny hopping down the road. And he would be saying, keep going, you're doing really well, just adjust the clutch. And I'd be like, okay. But, you know, he never was fazed at all. He just kept encouraging me. But then, fast forward to when I was since I've been an adult, I was trying to work out, I think about 12 years ago, I had a knee reconstruction from a netball injury. Obviously, I learned how to catch a ball. And I had the most amazing physiotherapist. And sometimes I would actually be in tears from the pain that she would be causing me and from riding the bike all the time. And she kept encouraging me to persevere because the end goal would be really worth it. Then I think of another time in my life, about 7 years ago, which was really a very difficult time for me in ministry. And there were people who encouraged me to stay the distance. In fact, some of them probably even carried me through that time. And I wonder where I would be today if it were not for some of those people and their encouragement. Well, as Jonathan has already said, we continue on with our series today, One Another. And as Bruce shared from the scripture, we are reading from Hebrews, and the verse that we are talking about is encouraging one another. The words that we heard from Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25 say this: and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, many traditionally believe that the letter of Hebrews was originally written to Jewish Christians who were leaving the church and returning to the synagogue. However, this is, if you were to read the whole letter of Hebrews, this is never actually specifically mentioned in the book. But over the years, others have said that this letter could be addressed to any Christians of any background. But really, regardless of who the original recipients were, what is clear is that the readers were discouraged and they were in need of some encouragement to remain faithful. In fact, if you keep reading through Hebrews, in chapter 11, the very next chapter from our reading this morning, this chapter is often referred to as the faith chapter of the Bible. And here in these verses of chapter 11, there's a great list of people who were able to persevere in their faith. People from the scriptures, people well known like Noah and Sarah, Moses, Rahab, and Abraham, all who faced trials, as Bruce mentioned in his introduction to the reading, but all who were able to persevere. So let us consider how we can spur one another on and encourage one another. Well, while I've given you some examples this morning of encouragement that I have received over my life, and this has obviously had a lasting impact on me because I can still remember it, the encouragement that the writer of Hebrews speaks of very much focuses on people persevering in their faith or helping them to live the life that God wants them to live. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the encouragement that I talked about. People encouraging me in the examples that I have given, you know, to keep going with different activities, keep going with playing netball, and one day you might learn how to catch a ball. There's nothing wrong with that, and I love to see and hear that happening. But what I love to see and hear even more is having people being encouraged in their walk with Jesus. How positive is it when somebody speaks the word of God over your life, or somebody prays for you or prays with you? I almost feel, and I don't know, this is probably not theologically sound, but maybe it is, that it's actually this deeper form of encouragement. You know, the Apostle Paul is a great example of encouraging people in their faith, predominantly by praying for them. There are many times when Paul thanks God for people, but he also prayed for them specifically. For the people in Ephesus, he prayed, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." For the Colossians, he prayed, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." But you can keep reading other examples from Paul. For the Thessalonians, he prayed that they would have peace. For the Ephesians, he also prayed that Christ may dwell in their hearts. And for the Philippians, he prayed that their love may abound more and more. While Paul often gave churches and people spiritual direction and correction, some of it was very perhaps harsh, hard for them to hear. These prayers that he prayed for them were meant as an encouragement in order that they would continue to grow deeper in their faith. We also have read this morning this phrase about spurring one another on. Well, according to the AI definition, to spur means to motivate someone to do something, often to try harder or achieve something more quickly. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Let us consider how we can motivate one another to try harder. But we're not just trying harder purely for the sake of it. We're spurring one another on to love and good deeds. We're spurring one another on, encouraging one another to action. We spur one another on not only for ourselves, but for the world. Or maybe if the world is too big, because sometimes the thought of the world is just so overwhelming, what about for our communities where we live? We spur one another on to actions and good deeds where we work, perhaps where we go to school or study. We spur one another on to be better, not necessarily better at skills or things, but to be better people, better at loving others, better at helping others, supporting others, better at good deeds that serve others. But we know that living out our faith can be very tough at times. There are times we are faced with challenges, with questions, with no answers, with sickness, with broken relationships, with financial worries. Maybe you're seeing what's happening in the world at present and you feel helpless. Well, this week I had a very bizarre thought. Often I have bizarre thoughts, but let's not go there. But it was actually like an image. This thought that I had was of an image and a song, and it just kept going through my head for days until it was almost driving me to distraction on Wednesday night. So just so you could get a glimpse of how my brain works, I'm going to share it with you this morning, because this is actually, and I haven't even told David this is actually a sporting thought, and it's to do with Australian rules football, Aussie rules, and it's the theme song and an image of the Collingwood Football Club, I'm sorry, from an Anzac Day game of football. Here is this picture. Warren Freeman would be proud if he was here this morning, I am sure. But this this image, every Anzac Day when Collingwood play Essendon at the Melbourne Cricket Ground, the MCG, they line up like this. But, you know, if Collingwood wins the game, their theme song says, "Good old Collingwood forever. They know how to play the game. Side by side, we stick together." It goes on. You can look it up if you're that interested. I'm not really that interested. But the reason that this has actually stuck in my head this week is because of the second part of the scripture that Bruce read to us. Here the writer speaks about enduring a great conflict. And, you know, I'm not sure that football's a great conflict, but you might have other opinions of that. But the scripture talked about this great conflict full of suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to insult and persecution. And what does it say in Hebrews that they did? It says, "At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You encouraged one another." You know, standing side by side with others through the challenges of life, I wonder, is there any greater encouragement than to know that someone is there on the journey with you? To stand beside someone doesn't mean that you have all the answers, that you know all the right words even. It simply means that you are there in solidarity with them, perhaps with a shared experience, a shared belief or faith. Side by side, we stand together to encourage one another. The final thing I want to share from these verses is back to verse 25 that says, "Not giving up meeting together." And for me, this is not solely about gathering on a Sunday, although I believe that corporate worship is important. It's also important that we meet together in other settings as well, perhaps Bible study groups or life groups. It could be meeting together around a meal table, going for a walk with someone, having a coffee with someone, serving together alongside one another. And sometimes it's in these smaller, more intimate gatherings where you can actually have the conversation about how you're travelling in life. This may give you the opportunity to pray together. They are more informal, but they can still be intentional meetings, and they can still be of great encouragement to us. And I would say that when we are going through the difficult times, that these personal type of meetups are even more essential to help people persevere in their faith. I often say, and I say it again now, that community was and still is God's idea. It was never intended that we would live our lives in isolation, for we know that encouragement cannot take place without interacting with others. Side by side, we stick together as we spur one another on and encourage one another. I want to share with you two more examples that I have received this week of encouragement. At 7 p.m. on Monday night, I was sitting at a basketball game in a freezing cold stadium, as I do quite often on a Monday night, watching Josiah play, and I received a text message from someone. And it was four words, and it just said, "Praying for you tonight." Then on Wednesday morning at 7:15, I received a message from another person saying, "Another day of opportunity to give not only practical support, but to share the love of God." Both of those people are in this room this morning. Both of those messages came at perfect time for me, and I'm grateful to the senders, and they know who they are, for the encouragement that they gave me. I can guarantee that there is somebody who needs you to encourage them. And you may well need to be encouraged yourself. This is part of one anothering. And I certainly believe that this is the way that God wants us to interact with one another.